This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. Time now for a look at Thursday's headlines, and we begin with more drama up on Capitol Hill, both in the chaos surrounding the House Ways and Means Committee, as well as the ongoing fight over the president's version of health care reform legislation. As we reported to you on Wednesday, House Ways and Means Committee Chairman Charlie Rangel stepped down over a series of ethics investigations into his conduct, both personal and professional. He says he's temporarily stepping aside, although Republicans are challenging whether such a move can be made without it being permanent. As we told you on Wednesday, the next senior Democrat on the committee is 19-term Congressman Pete Stark from California. He was chairman of this committee for exactly one day. On Thursday, fellow Democrats on the committee said they did not feel comfortable with him leading the committee, and they've elected Michigan Democrat Sander Levin, brother of Senator Carl Levin, to be at least the temporary committee chairman. What's wrong with Congressman Stark? Well, a long pattern of belligerent behavior. We've got it fully chronicled in a feature called Stark Raving Mad, which you can find at worldnetdaily.com and dateline.radioamerica.org. In my conversation earlier today with Texas Congressman Kevin Brady, a member of the Ways and Means Committee, he says both Stark and Levin are very liberal, but he says there's a reason why Pete Stark was not given the chairmanship.
Chairman Stark has had a number of outbursts, inappropriate actions, behaviors over the years, and his fellow Democrats decided they could not risk having him leading that important committee.
But Brady says while the committee addresses a whole host of issues from health care to energy to tax policy and more, it's not really Charlie Rangel, it's not really Sander Levin at this point who's really leading the committee.
The big question is, you know, will he lead this committee or will Nancy Pelosi continue to direct all of the tax and health care and energy issues out of her office rather than let the committee and both parties work on them? That's probably the biggest question.
The Rangel story, just three political scandals affecting New York State Democrats right now. Another one involves the state's Democratic Governor David Patterson, who just days ago announced he would not seek a full term of his own as governor of the Empire State following a long investigation into his potential illegal role by trying to cover up a domestic assault claim against one of his key aides. Patterson did not use that as the reason for not running, saying instead he needs to be a full-time governor during a difficult economic climate. Now, in the last couple of weeks, three critical Patterson aides, including today his director of communications, resigning, saying they cannot in good conscience continue. John Gizzi, among others, talking about David Patterson today. You can catch my conversation with John about Governor Patterson, as well as many other topics. Again, worldnetdaily.com, dateline.radioamerica.org. Another New York Democrat in trouble, Congressman Eric Massa, a Republican from the state's 29th congressional district, retiring after just one term. Massa says, unfortunately, a cancer diagnosis has reoccurred, and he needs to go home and deal with that because his doctor says he can't continue at his current pace and fight off this latest bout of cancer. At the same time, however, the House Ethics Committee looking into an investigation that Congressman Massa has, in fact, been accused of making unwanted advances towards a male staffer. More on that in my conversation with Susan Ferriccio of the Washington Examiner. Again, worldnetdaily.com, dateline.radioamerica.org. Of course, the health care debate continues as well, and Congressman Brady speaking out about that as well, since the Ways and Means Committee has plenty of jurisdiction on that issue. On Wednesday, President Obama told Congress to get health care done once and for all and also encouraged the use of reconciliation to get it done. He also claimed that Republicans' answer to the current health care crisis is to just loosen regulations on the health insurance industry. Congressman Brady says Obama just doesn't get it.
You know, the president just doesn't get this. So intent, I say, almost obsessed with passing this huge government bill, he's not listening to Republicans, but more risky, he's not listening to the American public. Everyone wants health care reform. Many of us have been waiting years to get the chance to really improve it. But this is the wrong bill. They don't want all this spending. They don't want all the regulation. They know in the end that it'll actually make health care worse for them, not better, and it won't lower their cost.
Congressman Brady also says the reason Obama is stuck in this position is because the liberal base of the Democratic Party is beholden to key special interests.
So they're looking to blame everyone at this point. They're blaming Republicans and insurance companies and all sorts of groups. But the truth is, if they weren't so beholden to the trial lawyers, if they weren't so beholden to the unions, if they really focused on how do we lower health care costs, this bill would have sailed through with some common sense measures, with a lot of bipartisan support.
And, of course, there's the vote coming up potentially in a couple of weeks. Obama wants it done by March 18th, certainly by Easter. But now the sticky issue of abortion and whether or not taxpayers would be funding abortion in the Senate legislation. The point man among pro-life Democrats is Michigan Congressman Bart Stupak. He told ABC's Good Morning America and anchor George Stephanopoulos that he just wants current federal law to remain in place, that no taxpayer dollars are used to fund abortion.
The president says no federal funding for abortion. I have eight pieces of legislation we currently have in federal law that says no public funding for abortion. Take any one of these eight, insert the language, and we'll be happy and we can support this legislation.
Pennsylvania Democratic Senator Bob Casey claims to be pro-life. He says that the Stupak-type language that was added to the House bill in order to gain passage back in November was debated in the Senate but rejected. But still, Casey says he thinks that taxpayers are protected from funding abortion in this legislation.
I've said from the beginning that we should continue the consensus of not having taxpayer dollars pay for abortions. I think the Senate bill gets that right. I realize it's different than what the House had. We had a vote in the Senate on that language that the House had adopted. It didn't pass. What we did then was, after that vote was taken and it didn't pass, we improved the language from the original Senate bill.
Senator Casey says the reason it was improved is because a new program is underway in order to help women who decide to continue their pregnancy and bring their baby to term, help them with that process. But it didn't specifically address the issue of taxpayer-funded abortions. Nancy Pelosi is, though. She says it's not in the bill.
This is not about abortion. There is no federally funded abortion. That is the law of the land. It is not changed in this bill.
Congressman Stupak, however, has actually read the bill and referenced exactly where it says that abortions would be covered in his interview on Good Morning America.
And if you go to page 2069 through page 2078, you will find in there the federal government would directly subsidize abortions.
So if the president doesn't change a Senate bill, you can't vote for it?
Well, no, we're not going to vote for this bill with that kind of language in there.
Meanwhile, the president is trying to twist the arms of moderate Democrats and very liberal Democrats, neither of which are very happy with this particular legislation. In what could either be a coincidence or a potential quid pro quo, depending upon your political perspective, President Obama has just named the brother of fence-sitting moderate Democrat Jim Matheson of Utah to be an appellate court judge. Kentucky Senator Jim Bunning, meanwhile, is launching a written defense of his actions in holding up for a few days that $10 billion initiative to extend unemployment benefits and other initiatives. In his statement printed in USA Today, Senator Bunning says that Harry Reid asked the senators to pass a 30-day extension for unemployment insurance and other federal programs. He says a bipartisan bill that was paid for was nixed by Reid in favor of one that was not paid for. He says that after 4 days of impasse, he reached a supposed deal with Leader Reid to have an up or down vote on a pay-for amendment that would fully fund the legislation. He says, though, the Democrats played a parliamentary trick and the substance of his amendment was never voted on. But by that point, it was too late for him to continue his opposition. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily.